All right, Manitoba, welcome back to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're having a wonderful day as always. Real fast, Manitoba, like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff that helps out the show, especially sharing. It really does help. It helps beating that Facebook and YouTube algorithm that everyone's fighting against. But either way, Manitoba, yeah, thank you so much again for tuning in. First and foremost, Manitoba, if you're going to be outside, bundle up because it is fucking cold out there and it's only going to get colder. So if you haven't already plugged in your car, do that as well, Manitoba. Take a look here. It's going to start off in the low 20s, but it's going to, like I said, slowly progress into the mid minus 20s. With the wind chill at 2 a.m., it's going to feel like minus 31. And like I said, Manitoba, it's only getting colder. That's continuing all the way to Thursday. I just lost it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, like I said, look, take a look at this. So Thursday morning, Manitoba, when you guys wake up, minus 25, it's going to feel like minus 34. So like I said, Manitoba, make sure your vehicle is plugged in. It is going to be cold. All right. So I'm sure most of you guys already know Heather Stephenson has officially stepped down from the PC leadership party. I'm sure most of you guys are aware of this. But here is her official letter. Let me just pull it up. Effective Monday, January 15, 2024, I will be resigning as the leader of the Manitoba PC Party. Serving as the leader of this party and as the Premier of Manitoba has been the honor of a lifetime. I'm proud of our PC team and their hard work to balance Manitoba's books, make life more affordable, and significantly reduce taxes and red tape. The foundation of a strong, growing economy in Manitoba is due to the efforts of all the PC MLAs who served in the former government. Looking forward, I'm excited to watch how our party continues to grow as our members select a new leader and hold this NDP government's feet to the fire. We have an exciting roster of elected MLAs who are already doing a great job and standing up for Manitobans. I'd like to thank each and every PC member for their support, feedback, and guidance over the years. I know the future of our party is bright, and I can't wait to continue cheering on our progressive conservative party in the next chapter. All right, so like I said, yeah, she is officially stepping down. A little bit of her political career. Stephenson was first elected in the Manitoba Legislature in 2000 by-election, replacing former PC Premier Gary Filmon in the South Winnipeg riding of Tuxedo. Stephenson was easily re-elected in the 2003 election, with the NDP improving to a second-place stature, followed by her re-election in the 2007, 2011, 2018, and 19 elections. Side note, in 2002, she received the Queen Elizabeth II Golden Jubilee Medal in recognition of her community service. I guess that's Queen Elizabeth II, not two. In 2016, Premier Brian Pallister named Stephenson Deputy Premier of the Minister of Justice and Attorney General. In 2018, she became the Minister of Families, in addition to her role as Deputy Premier. And in 2021, Stephenson became the first female Premier of Manitoba, following a majority vote of the PC caucus. So, ladies and gentlemen, no, she, like I said, is stepping down, but that is definitely not without controversy. Current Premier claims PC government tried to ram through silico mining approval days after Manitoba election. So I'm sure most of you guys already heard about this, but this is kind of the ending to her whole stint as Premier. Nothing but controversies. Like, literally from the first days when it was a controversy about how she even got elected, which ended up resulting in a lawsuit. If you guys remember back, the bout between Heather Stephenson and Shelley Glover. Up until when she was declared the Premier of Manitoba, the leader of the PC party, when during questioning period, and this is at the beginning of her stint as premier, when I believe someone was asking her about the death of a patient being transferred out of Manitoba, she thought that was a good time to bring up a proud mom moment and started talking about her son's hockey accomplishments. So like I said, Manitoba, right from the get-go, her tenure has been filled nothing but controversy. So this is and you might be saying, okay, well, it's just the, you know, party politics, but that's not the case. Former PC minister decries unconscionable attempt to okay Silica mining deal after losing Manitoba election. So Rochelle Squire is now the second former Tory to claim the party tried to approve the proposal before the new government is sworn in. And the first MLA that claimed this was Kevin Kline. And of course, shocker to no one, the MLA, former Manitoba cabinet minister, denies accusation of rushing it. So, like, no matter what, Manitoba, you have two people from the PC party, former PC party, claiming that this happened, and will we get accountability? No. Wharton said he had only attempted to gather information about the planned mining project following last year's election in order to pass it on to the current government. He denied the allegations on Wednesday. Quote, that's what good governments do. They share information to ensure that making informed decisions, said Wharton. And in the case we're going forward, we're ensuring this particular project was in a position for the new government to make an informed decision. It's insane. So after weeks of this, like I said, I know most of you guys know about this because this is not new. But after weeks of this going on, of the media having a heyday, and the NDP having a heyday with this, finally, in a move that literally should surprise no one, let me just pull up this video for you guys.
All right, thank you very much for joining us today on Treaty One Territory. Today we are filing two formal complaints with the Manitoba Ethics Commissioner, asking him to investigate PC MLAs Heather Stephenson and Jeff Wharton for corruption, for putting their own interests ahead of Manitobans and violating the Conflict of Interest Act. A few weeks ago, Manitobans heard former PC ministers publicly share the details of how the PCs behaved after they lost the October 2023 election. Just days after the PCs' defeat, MLA Jeff Wharton called his cabinet colleagues, the former MLA for Riel, Rochelle Squires, and the former Kirkfield Park MLA, Kevin Kline, and pressured them to use their ministerial powers to hand over a license to CO Silica while they thought no one was looking. Heather Stephenson knew about these calls. In fact, Jeff Wharton said that he was acting under the direction of the defeated premier and that she would have made the call herself if it wasn't for the Conflict of Interest Act. On October 3rd, Manitobans sent a clear signal that they no longer trusted the former government. But even after this day, the PCs tried to make a major decision on behalf of the people who had voted them out. In the words of Heather Stephenson and Jeff Wharton, former cabinet colleagues, this was, and I quote, inappropriate, extremely disappointing, insulting, dishonorable, disgusting, unconscionable, and corruption. Being elected by Manitobans is an honor and a great responsibility. As your representatives in this legislature, you expect us to act with integrity. But Heather Stephenson and Jeff Wharton use their privileged positions to violate that trust. Like you, we have many questions, and we believe Manitobans deserve answers. It's time for MLAs Stephenson and Wharton to face Manitobans and own up for their actions. We've called for this investigation, and we look forward to the Ethics Commissioner's findings.
All right, so I already told you that Wharton is, of course, denying everything, and which also should be a shocker to no one. Former Manitoba Premier denies the accusation she tried to push mine approval. Manitoba PC leader, former, Heather Stephenson says she did not try to push through approval of a silico sand mine in the days following her October 3rd election loss. Stephenson also says she has no financial interest in the mine and no conflict of interest in the project, which remains a proposal. A side note, those are the two things that everyone keeps claiming that Wharton said, that Stephenson would be making these phone calls, but she has a financial interest and a conflict of interest. So basically, Heather Stephenson is, I guess, throwing Wharton under the bus. So the governing New Democrats have filed complaints with the Provincial Ethics Commissioner against Stephenson and former Tory Economic Development Minister Jeff Wharton. They allege that they too tried to rush approval of the CO Silica mining project after the Tories lost the election and before the NDP were sworn in. Stephenson said her government presented information on the project to the incoming NDP government, as all governments do on major files during the transition period. But she says there was no attempt to get the project, which is still being reviewed, approved early. Quote, we brought it to the attention of the NDP leader, Wab Kanu, and the NDP, Stephenson told reporters Saturday. They said they were interested at the time in moving forward. End of story. End quote. The accusation started within Tory ranks. Two former cabinet ministers, Raquel Squires and Kevin Kline, have said they were called separately by Wharton days after the election loss. They say Wharton asked them to approve the mining project before the new NDP government could be sworn in on October 18. So Kline and Squires both said they refused. Wharton has denied the accusation and has said he has simply gathering information about the mining project to pass on to the incoming government. Kind of the same thing Stephenson is claiming. Wharton has denied the accusation as well. Stephenson said Saturday the accusation is not true. Quote, we did not issue the license and I have no conflict of interest. End quote. Stephenson said she did discuss the mine with Kline, who was environmental minister, and told him the project was not moving forward. Interesting. The New Democrats allege any attempt to push through the mining project after the election loss would violate a long-standing constitutional principle known as the Caretaker Convention, which forbids outgoing governments from making most major decisions during the transition period. The Ethics Commissioner is being asked to investigate under the province's Conflict of Interest Act, which forbids legislative members from exercising an official power, duty, or function that provides an opportunity to further their private interests or those of their family, or to improperly further another person's private interests. There are exceptions, however, such as activities normally carried out on behalf of constituents. The CO Silica project would create thousands of wells over 24 years across a large swath of southeastern Manitoba, although only an initial phase is being reviewed for approval now. Manitoba's environmental regulator, the Clean Environment Commission, recommended against any decision in the mining project in June, pending further studies on the project's impact. So there it is. So unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, it depends on who you are, Heather Stephenson will be, I think, in my opinion, the second premier in recent history to step down on a bad note. Me, of course, talking about Brian Pallister, who many conservatives, like myself, were very disappointed in how he handled the COVID-19 lockdowns and the restrictions and all that. So, I mean, man, this is two for two with the PC stepping down, like, kind of disgracefully. So this is, again, like I said, her tenure or her stint as premier has been riddled with controversy, because now, like I said, this is how it's ending. Let me just pull it up. Murder victim families file human rights complaint against Manitoba Tories. So like I said, Manitoba, from the beginning to the end, she has, Heather Stephenson has just been under the gun. The daughter of the murder victim, whose remains are believed to be in a landfill, has launched a human rights complaint against the PC Party of Manitoba. On Monday after, side note, they also launched one against the current government, the NDP too, but the mainstream media hates talking about that. But anyways, I'll continue. On Monday afternoon, Cambria Harris, the daughter of Morgan Harris, announced on her Facebook page that a human rights complaint has been filed that alleges that the Manitoba PC's election ads and billboards touting a promise to stand firm on not searching the Prairie Green landfill during the last false provincial election amounted to an act of discrimination. This shouldn't have been something to happen in the first place, and I sit here baffled that I even have to do this, Harris said. No family should ever be used in for a political game, end quote. The complaint alleges that during the 2023 provincial election campaign, the incumbent Manitoba PC and former Premier Heather Stephenson discriminated against Indigenous women, girls, and LGBTQIA+. Holy fuck, that's a new one, I think. Has it always been like that? People by issuing public statements and signs with language that is demeaning and affronts the dignity of Indigenous women, girls, and the alphabet, people and their families. Jesus. The complaint alleges that the PC violated Section 18 of the Manitoba's Human Rights Code, which states that no person shall publish, broadcast, circulate, or publicly display or cause to be published, broadcast, circulated, or publicly displayed any sign, symbol, notice, or statement that discriminates or indicts the intention to discriminate. Section 18 also states that no person may publish or display material that incites, advocates, or counsels discrimination. Okay, so there you go. Like I said, from beginning to end, Heather Stephenson has been riddled with controversy. So like it seems like the NDP, they only seem to work hard when they are attacking their opposition, because they continue every time something comes up in the news, they just continue to blame the PCs, even though they've been in power for 3 months now, going on 100 days. So what is the NDP actually doing to solve these problems? How many times has Wob said that Manitoba elected the NDP to fix healthcare, to fix the increasing violence Manitoba is seeing, especially downtown, in all of our major cities downtown? How many times has Wob said it's his job to make life more affordable? You know what I mean? Like, it just every time he gets on the news, that's what he's saying. But in actuality, I've talked about this before, Manitoba, the very first opportunity Wob has, he doesn't help out Manitobans. And this would help out, like, what, 90% of Manitoba? No, I think it's like 60% of Manitobans. But just like the PC party can't get their story straight, neither can the NDP. And they're just getting started. March 25th. Carbon tax exemption, bad. October 31st, it's good. November 1st, it's bad. October 6th, it's good. November 10th, it's bad. January 6th, it's good. Like, is this the kind of government that you want? Up until now, like, till current time, this is what, like, Canoe opens doors to carbon tax discussions with Ottawa. This guy cannot get it straight. Premier Wob Kanu is interested in working with Ottawa to examine the federal carbon tax in Manitoba. Quote, I think that Manitoba has a very strong case to make that the carbon tax price could be revisited here in our province. You want to talk about the Saskatchewan mayor, Mo, who is just straight up not collecting the carbon tax anymore. That is something that Wob Kanu could have done. But they just flip flop back and forth. So like, I want you guys to take a look at this next video. Does this look like people that I'm talking about that look concerned for your healthcare, for the violence, Is this what you thought you were going to get when you elected the NDP?
We're the Manitoba NDP. Of course we're fixing healthcare.
I'm JD. My favorite color is orange.
No, JD.
No, you have to say that we're the NDP and why Manitobans elected us.
Oh, okay, I got it.
We're the Manitoba NDP. Of course we're advancing reconciliation.
We're the Manitoba NDP. You just saved 14 cents a liter at the pump.
We're the Manitoba NDP. Of course we're lowering costs for you and your family.
We're the Manitoba NDP. Of course we respect workers' rights.
We're the Manitoba NDP. We're going to deliver on a K-12 nutrition program and end chronic homelessness.
We're the Manitoba NDP. We're going to make life better together.
We're the Manitoba NDP. Of course we're fixing healthcare.
I'm JD. My favorite color is orange.
Do you guys believe any of that? Any of that? This is their big win. Manitoba adding 36 acute care beds at St. Boniface Hospital to reduce ER strain / wait times. That is their big win, Manitoba. The provincial government will add 36 new acute care beds to St. Boniface Hospital as a means of addressing mounting wait times in ER, emergency rooms, and other pressures on the healthcare system. The beds will open in phases beginning with 10 in late March to be used to help transition patients from the ER to other areas of the facility. So their big win is like 36 beds. That is not a win. That is like a small nudge in the right direction. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm not going to like hate on progress, but here, this is what's going on. So from day one, everyone and anyone has been screaming from the top of their lungs what the actual problem is. And we all know it. It's like it doesn't matter how many hospital beds or how many hospitals you build or how many beds you put in the hospital. If we don't have the staff, nurses, doctors, specialists, then it's pointless. Then we're just going back to hallway medicine. I don't understand. Anyways, I didn't realize it was going to be a 30-second ad, but take a look. Have a listen to the nurses' union.
This morning, we are looking into the state of Manitoba's healthcare system, the good things and the bad things. We are joined by Darlene Jackson, who is president of the Manitoba Nurses' Union. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Clay.
So we're into a new year. Are you optimistic things will be a little better in 2024 as opposed to 2023? What is the current situation?
Well, I can honestly say that over the vacations here at time or the holiday time, we've really, really had some challenges in healthcare. We're seeing lots and lots of respiratory illnesses. We're seeing the ICUs and the, for example, the PICU at Children's, they're absolutely drowning with individuals that need care. So I think that we're seeing some really tough times right now in healthcare. I don't see it improving rapidly in the future. We got an email from a nurse that yesterday at HSC Emergency, they had 77 patients waiting to be triaged, which is a record for them. They've never seen it that bad. So I think what's happening right now is we're going through a really tough time with our respiratory illnesses and things that are happening, but we're also going through a really tough time in healthcare with nursing shortages, critical nursing shortages, and just it's just the perfect storm right now.
Well, what happens to these nurses who are, you know, getting this influx of patients? And like you said, they're becoming overwhelmed, and then they have to do all this overtime. You know, you think about the morale and the mental and the physical stress that this is happening on them.
Well, I think that we can honestly say we're seeing more and more burnout and PTSD than we've ever seen in healthcare in the past. What happens when those nurses get an influx of patients or have a patient load heavier? They manage. They have no choice. There is no one to back them up. So they manage. They work harder. They go without breaks. They do overtime. They're mandated to stay. And they're exhausted at the end of it. And so I see nurses who are you know, basically putting their hands up on a daily basis saying, I can't do this any longer.
We have a new government, an NDP government now. Are you hoping things may improve with this new government as opposed to the previous PC government?
I'm certainly optimistic. This government has, certainly made known that they want to collaborate with frontline staff, that they want to talk to frontline nurses and frontline staff with regards to what are some solutions and what can we do better. One thing they've talked about is adding more seats into the nursing program, which is great, but that's a long-term goal. That's 4 to 5 years away, getting those additional nurses into the system. In the meantime, I think that we really have to focus on retention. We have to retain every nurse we possibly can in the system, especially those experienced nurses who can share their knowledge and their skills with new nurses. But I think we also have to look to other provinces and be really competitive. When you look at Newfoundland, who is paying an additional $25 an hour to go and work in northern Newfoundland, I think that is a sign that we have to become much more competitive, keep our nurses here.
All right. Darlene, there's more solutions to look at, or possible solutions. Good luck to all of the nurses, because I know the incredible work they do day in and day out. You know, we're talking a job that is 24/7.
Yes, it absolutely is. And it is 24/7, and they do provide amazing care. And it doesn't matter what shows up at an emergency department or an urgent care center. Those nurses are providing care for those patients, usually at the risk of their own health.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, so Manitoba, quote, "I don't see it improving rapidly in the future," Darlene Jackson. So, like this is Manitoba. They're touting bullshit as wins. And if we're going to offer free healthcare in Canada, which I agree with, then we have to start cutting other social services. Like she said, we have to make Winnipeg attractable and Manitoba attractable for these nurses and doctors and specialists. And let's be real, who the fuck would want to come and live here? We have to start paying them more money. That is the only way to get them and retain them. Obviously, money talks. We have to dramatically bump up their pay scale. And if that means cutting other social services, then we should. If we're going to do this, Manitoba, our wait times are they're longer than days. They're over 24 hours. If you have to go to the ER, it is fucking insane. People are dying. Like, here's an easy one. Let's start by sending zero money overseas. Wouldn't that just be an easy one? And I mean $0. $0 to Ukraine, zero to Israel, to Yemen. I don't give a fuck if it doesn't involve Canada. $0 until Canada is taken care of. You know, like, fix your own backyard before you complain about other people's. It's just mind-blowing. But Manitoba, let me just pull this up. It's freezing here. Sorry. My computer's freezing. Damn. I wanted to pull up this. I want to kind of almost end the show off. Like, I know Manitoba Liberals are irrelevant in Manitoba, thank God, with only one seat. But, man, I really want to show you guys the hypocrisy of the Manitoba Liberals. Like this show's theme is just, it does not matter which party you're talking about here in Manitoba. They are all fucking useless. Oh, it just won't come up. That's frustrating. Okay, well, I'll just read to her, the Manitoba Liberals tweet. Manitoba. Oh, it just won't do it. Sorry, guys. I wonder if I'm still live. I don't think I have a way of looking. Oh, I got it. What do you know? Take a look at this. Manitobans are at risk of dying tonight because we have failed to provide affordable housing, adequate supports, and poverty-reducing policies. If a society is judged by how it treats its most vulnerable, we are failing humanity. Like, does that not make your blood curl when you know that like a 30-second Google search will tell you like who caused this problem. And when you realize it's their own fucking boss, you know what I mean? Like it's not hard to find out that it's Justin Trudeau's policies. Immigration is making Canada's housing more expensive. The government was warned 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they were warned. Government was warned 2 years ago. High immigration could affect housing costs. So like Trudeau ignored warnings on immigration. Now you pay the price. Government was warned in 2022 that high immigration numbers were putting a squeeze on housing and health care. And it affects more than just housing and health care. It goes down the list. And then the audacity that the Manitoba Liberals have to point out that if humanity is being judged, we failed. Meanwhile, it's literally her boss's policies that put people in such a problem. It's just... all these politicians, the ego they must have to run is mind-blowing. So it doesn't matter, like I said, Manitoba, it doesn't matter if it's the PCs, the NDPs, or the irrelevant NDP. All three of them do nothing for Manitoba. I was going to actually end the show off with this other tweet that came by, unfortunately, by a CBC reporter, just for the fact that it was kind of funny because it was showing that the systems don't even work. And in this case, it was her trying to request FIPA. So that's whatever that is. What is FIPA? Where you could get, like, you know, like the government documents. Anyways, yeah, she fucking filed a FIPA request to get some documents on the accident that killed the 17 seniors last year. And it just took, like, super long. Like, they're supposed to have, like, 45 days. And it went, like, 6 months in or something like that. Until they had a plan, and then once they had a plan, and they put out a public plan, the government, then they released these documents for her to do a report. So, I mean, it was a bullshit article, it doesn't really matter, but everything is freezing up, so I don't even know if I'm live right now. But either way, Manitoba, I love you guys so much for tuning in, if you guys are still here. The point of the show is just, like, we need smaller government, because, like I said, it doesn't matter which... three parties you pick, every single time Manitoba loses. All right, guys.